1 Corinthians 13, you got it? 1 John chapter 4, you don't have to turn there. Verse 7 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so love us, we ought also to love one another." I'm with Brother Henry. I love our church. Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians, talked about love. He talked about charity. Love is not just a sense of attachment. I see babies around here, right? Lexi's back there with the baby, and that baby loves Lexi. Lexi loves that baby. That baby doesn't even have a personality yet, but mama loves her baby. There's a sense of attachment. The baby loves Lexi. There's a sense of attachment. Even with the ones as they get a little older, Liam, you know, he runs to mama because, you know, she's safe. He loves her. He feels safe with her. She is his sanctuary. And, you know, we'd go all around and look at all the different relationships. But love is not just a sense of attachment, though that's part of it. Love is a desire and an action to benefit another. My desire is that you will be benefited, is that you will do well, that you will succeed, that you will thrive, that you will have joy. That's my desire. I love you. I want you to have peace in your life. And so I will guard you against those things in your life that cause chaos. I will guard you and warn you, and God does, and the Word does, and anybody that loves you does, warns you against those things that are harmful to you. Why? Because we love you. Now, I know that it would be easy for you to see that I love people who I have an attachment, my family. Corey's back there. I would say in this room, he probably has known me the longest. Wouldn't you say that's true, Corey? Since he's the oldest, right? In this room, he's the one that's known me the longest. Now, I would say that you could tell that I love him, and you could tell that he loves me, right? That's my son. So there's attachment. There's a desire to benefit. There's action to benefit. Right? So you could see that love. But then there are some who come in, and this will be their first time here. I don't see any first-time visitors this morning. But those who would come in, and they would wonder, well, how can you say you love me? You've never met me before. And give it time, I might not love you anymore. That might be true. No, but the truth is that God is love. And if God so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son to be the propitiation, the settlement for our sin, then John says we ought also to love one another. If God so loved us, if God loved me, look, God loved me before my sin. People will say, well, you know, I did that, but that was before I was saved. Well, I'm glad that you don't do it anymore, but I want you to know something. Every sin you've committed since you got saved is washed in the blood also. It's all washed away. It's all gone. Why? Because the blood of Jesus was shed for one purpose, and that is to remove sin from us. Because only when the sin is removed can we go before God and be seen and loved as children. Only then we get to heaven with sin, we can't get in. Well, you say, what happens if I don't ask forgiveness at the last second? But you asked forgiveness when you got saved. And that took care of everything. Past, present, future sin, all washed away by the blood. And so, look, I'm not encouraging to sin. Paul said in Romans, we don't sin. God forbid that we should sin so grace could abound. But all of my sin is washed away. I was listening to a debate of sorts yesterday where a pastor was naming sins. If you do this, you can't go to heaven. You're going to hell. And the other guy says, well, what about salvation? What about the blood of Jesus? Because I could tell you something. If the blood of Jesus was not enough to wash away every sin, then there would have been no benefit to Jesus dying on the cross. Because there's not a single person ever lived that stopped sinning after they got saved. That never sinned again. And I've even had people tell me, well, I don't sin. And there's another lie they told. That goes on the list. You know, Jesus said, even if you don't do it, if you think it, you've sinned. Now, I'll say this, it's worse to do it than it is to think about doing it. But it's still a sin because our mind is not regenerated. It's not perfect. It's not transformed. But every sin I have committed before I got saved and after I got saved is washed in the blood because I got saved. Because I went to God and said, God, I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me, and I ask you to forgive my sin. It does not give me license to sin. It shouldn't make me comfortable with sin. But it should give me the assurance that no matter what sin I may commit, I know I'm going to heaven. No matter what sin I have committed, I know I'm going to heaven. Guys, I'm here to tell you this morning, the blood of Jesus is sufficient for all your sin. Again, not a license to sin. Paul, in the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, talked about love. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling symbol. You see, great oration and smooth talking eloquence is just noise unless it is motivated by love, unless it is poured out from a heart of love. In fact, the term he uses there, and most of you probably already know this, that sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal is like when you're, how many of you have ever been to a fair? How many of you can raise your hand this high? That's all. Okay. You've been to a fair. Have you ever come across the clown in the dunking booth? And he's got that microphone and he's calling you every name in the book. And he's trying to get you to pay to throw the ball to knock him in the water. That sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. As you would go down the, have you heard the Ultimate Image Auto guy, right? On the radio or on your TV, that's tinkling brass sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. It's noisy. Right? You're watching a television show and you're enjoying it and it's nice and calm and all of a sudden here comes this clown on the commercial being loud and getting your attention. What's he doing? Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, just to get attention. That's what it is. Look at what Paul's saying in verse 1. He says, if the preacher doesn't preach out of love, he's just making noise and attracting attention. He's just doing it for attention if he doesn't love. There's got to be a love. There's got to be love. Verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains. Boy, what a great Christian he is, huh? Man, he's a real good Christian. Look at what he can do. Even the wisest, most devoted Christian or person of faith is useless if he doesn't have love. If she doesn't have love, it's got to be done out of love. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Boy, that's something, isn't it? Selling everything, liquidating everything to give it away. That's charitable. And though I Give my body to be burned. I sacrifice everything I've got. Give myself. But no charity, then there's no benefit. It profiteth nothing. You see, even the biggest giver has no benefit unless he gives out of love, which, by the way, is a benefit in itself. If I love you and I can help you, I feel good about that. If I love you and I'm in a position to help, thank God. You know, a lot of times people ask for something and I'm in a position to help them. I'm glad I can. Sometimes I can't. But in that moment where I can help you, that's good for me. I benefit in that also. He said, though I give my body. Jesus gave his body. He gave his life on the cross. Hey, if he didn't do it out of love, it was nothing. But he did it out of love. He loved us. Look at what he said in his prayer. He said, Father, I pray not only for those you have given me that do believe, but I pray for them also which will believe. He prayed for us. Before we were born, he prayed for us. There's a song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He looked down through eternity and he loved us. And we sinned and we backslid and we rebelled. And he loved us anyway. And he loves us anyway. Verse 4. Charity suffers long. How many of you have put up with something because you love somebody and you wouldn't have put up with that from anybody else? I wouldn't have tolerated that from anybody, but because we love them, we put up with it. Charity is long-suffering. And charity is kind. Charity is kind. So I want you to just look at the people you are nice to, you are kind toward, and you can say right now, I can say, I love those people. But what about those people we're not nice to? Because if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Love is kind, and it envieth not. Doesn't get jealous. You get a new car, I'm happy you got a new car. I'm glad you got a new car. You get a raise, I'm glad you got a raise. That's great. Got a new job, that's wonderful. All right, all the good things that happen to you, I celebrate that. Because I love you. Kindness, love is not selfish. Love doesn't say, well, how come he got a raise and I didn't? How come he always gets the breaks and I don't? That's not love. Love envieth not. Love doesn't get jealous. And it doesn't vaunt itself up. It's not puffed up. It's not proud. And it's not selfish. Not self-centered. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. It's not, and we could put it this way, is not reactive. Reactive. Anybody, you ever heard of something that's reactive? When I say it's reactive, you think of nuclear, right? Explosion and terrible fallout. That's what he's talking about. Our attitudes go nuclear. Because we're not acting out of love. Because we're not living out of love. We're living out of selfishness. Self-centeredness. He says it doesn't behave itself unseemly. It doesn't act out. You see, love. How many of you would say that you love differently now than you did 20 years ago? Love changes, doesn't it? Is it that it changes or is it that we change? We grow into it. We grow into it. We develop. Become different. We learn how to love differently. So that we don't act out. So that we don't seek our own. So that we're not easily provoked. So that we're not reactive. So that we don't think the worst. He says, thinketh no evil. It says it doesn't rejoice in iniquity, verse 6. But rejoices in the truth. You see, the thing about love is that if I love you, I weep when you weep and I dance when you dance. If Sister Betty would have danced, I would have had to dance with her because I love her. Right, so that's what love does. But love doesn't act out. Love bears all things. Remember when they came to Joseph and Mary and Jesus, and they talked about Jesus being the King of the King, the King of Kings, and King of the Jews. And the Bible says, and she pondered these things in her heart. She internalized it. She didn't really know what to do with it, but she internalized it. And there are things that happen in love, whether that's with your spouse or with your children or with your parents or your siblings or your friends or your pastor or whoever. There are things that happen in our lives where we don't act out. We internalize it. We think about it. But he says here, bears all things. So when you slap me and I don't slap you back, that's bearing all things. It's, well, okay, I'm just going to take it. And that's what love, by the way, don't start doing that, said Pastor said I could. My point is not that we should be humiliated and run over and mistreated and abused. That's not the point at all. My point is that we let that happen because we love somebody. I'm not saying it's okay. It's not. But I'm saying that's why we put up with it. Because we love them. Wife stays in a relationship longer than she should for her own safety and the safety of her children. Why? Because she loves them. Sometimes because she's scared. Sometimes because she doesn't know where to go. But she stays in that usually too long because she loves. And by the way, if that's your relationship, it's time to get out. Same thing with other relationships. Guys, if we're being abused, we're putting up with it because we love them, but it's not healthy and it's toxic and it's bad for us. So I'll just go ahead and say it. You need to get out of it. You need to find a way to change the way it's working. But don't let yourself be beaten up because you love them. But we do it because we love them. We bear all things and we believe all things. How many of you ever believed in somebody and they let you down? Why? Because we love them. So we believe longer than we should. We had hope longer than we should, because that's the next thing he said. Hopes all things and endures all things. And we just hung in there and we hang in there. Guys, I'm not saying this to make us question our relationships, but what I'm saying is the reason we do those things is because we love them. It's from the right motivation. It's from the right place. Even if we become the victims, if we're abused in it, it came from the right place. But we put up with that mess a lot longer than we should because we love them. That's not exactly what you've read in there before, is it? But I'm telling you, that's why we put up with it. Because we love them. Because we care. And Paul is telling us that when it comes to relationship, real love won't do those things. But the other side hangs in there longer because we do love. Coming from the right place. Verse 8, charity never faileth. Love is the right option. He goes on and he says this. He says, charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part and we prophesy in part. What are those things? What do we relate those things to? Knowledge, prophecy, and tongues in those days. What do we relate that to? Okay, we relate it to the church, right? Ministry. Look at what he says. He says, everything we do in ministry that's ministerial or church-like is going to be gone except one thing, and that's love. See, when we get to heaven, it won't be more teaching because we'll have that awareness. We'll have that understanding. But there'll be still love. When everything else falls by the wayside, when everything else is no longer needed, what matters? Love. That's what holds out. It doesn't expire. It doesn't fail. He says we know in part and we prophesy in part. You see, the thing about being here on earth is we don't know everything. Right? I know if Brother Robert Humes was here, and I'm hoping he's watching online, he would say he does. Right? We don't know everything. We don't have full knowledge. But when we get to heaven, we'll have full knowledge. Look at what he says. Then shall I know even as I am known. Let me deal with something that has, in my upbringing, always been an issue. And that was the idea that the completed Word of God was the perfection that we're looking for here. Verse 10, when that which is perfect is come. And so I was always taught growing up that that's talking about the completed Word of God, the Bible. When that which is perfect is come. But you notice that's not, if you continue the harmony of the text, he says that then that which is in part shall be done away with. In verse number 12, we now see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. The then is not talking about here. The then is talking about heaven. The then is talking about eternity. The then. If you just continue the harmony of the text. And it just goes to show we got to be careful what we buy into that we're taught, because people will just regurgitate what they've been told, and that's terrible. When that which is perfect has come. How many of you are looking forward to a perfect body? Again, Brother Robert would say, I've already got one. We're looking forward to a perfect body and a perfect mind and a perfect understanding and a perfect knowledge. I'm looking forward to all those things. But that's there, not here. That which is in part shall be done away with. All the effort that we make are imperfect. As a pastor, as a Christian, as a church member, all the effort of ministry that you and I make are imperfect. Somebody dies. I cannot heal a broken heart. I want to. I grieve over that. I wish I could. I wish I could fix them. In fact, before the loved one died, I wish I could have fixed them so that they didn't die. But I can't. It's imperfect. Our efforts are imperfect. We can't fix things that I, as a pastor, I wish I could fix. He says there's hope, and there's faith, and there's charity. See, there's some things that are imperfect in our lives. They're great, but they're still imperfect. They're not complete. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. And isn't faith great? I've said, and the reason we have those words on our wall, hope, love, and forgiveness, is because if we don't have forgiveness of the past, it'll haunt us. And if we don't have love in the moment, then we feel disconnected. And if we don't have hope for the future, then what's the point of living? I'm all about hope, and I'm all about faith. But they're imperfect. He said the greatest of these is love. And love will outlast everything else. Love. Love will. Now we see through a glass, verse 12, darkly. A mirror. You see, even when I look in the mirror, I can't see all my imperfections. But then, face to face. Isn't it exciting that when you get to heaven, you'll be able to recognize those you knew here? Aren't you looking forward to seeing some of them? Aren't you going to shock some of them when you make it? How did you get here? Same way you did, through Jesus. You see, when we're in heaven, we'll be perfect. We'll have perfect understanding. Everything here is limited. And we put up with a lot of stuff and we hang on because we love people. And love is great. Love never fails. That is the motivation. It must be the motivation behind all of our ministries, all of our service, all of our expressions of kindness. It's got to be love. Because without love, the preaching is nonsense. It's just noise. just to attract attention. Without love, even giving away all your money won't benefit you or them. Without love, Jesus dying on the cross didn't serve its purpose. But the reason it does serve its purpose is because he gave himself out of love. Jesus loved you. That's why he gave himself on the cross. That's why he rose from the grave. Because he loved you. He had to do those things to give us the victory. We ought to examine our relationships and see if we're really acting in love, if we're really living in love. And by the way, examine how other people are treating us. And say, is that really love? And have a conversation. I'm not saying go home and pack your stuff and get out. But have a conversation and say, you know, this is not love. Let's find the love again. Would you stand? Father, we thank you for your truth. We look at our relationships, and certainly there are some that we can see that we have been the ones loving. And some of those relationships, maybe we'll find that we have not been loved. Maybe we've been tolerated. And we realize that we can only address our own actions. So God, today we surrender to you. Today we say, God, change me so that I can love properly. So that I can act with benefit to others. Whether they be longtime friends or loved ones, or whether they be strangers, that we can act in love, showing compassion, showing charity, because your word says we ought to. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who does not know you as Savior, I pray that right now they will look to you and confess their sins and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That their sins will be washed away and they be given a new life in Christ. Lord, make each one of us fresh and new this morning through the grace and mercy of heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open. If you want to come and kneel and pray, this is your opportunity. If you have a need or a burden you want me to pray with you about, I'd be glad to do that. We could do it now, we could do it later. But please, address the problems and the burdens and the needs. Give it to God. Maybe you say to God this morning, God, I don't have the passion for the lost. I don't have the passion for my faith. I've lost my enthusiasm. I've lost my desire. Maybe you would say, God, I've not been loving others the way I should. And I need you. I need you to help me. I need you to make me a loving person again. Let God have his way in your life right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?